I'd like to welcome everybody to the next installment of DWJD's audio teaching sermon series. It is a great day in the Lord, as is every day for those true believers who are followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. I am Pastor Jefferson, and this is audio sermon number 54. In the last sermon, we were discussing the 120-year interval God spoke of back in Noah's day, and we're comparing it to an exact same interval of which we are in the midst of now, here in our modern age. The latest interval began with Arthur Balfour's receipt of Lord Rothschild's letter in 1917, notifying him of what was needed to bring about the creation of a national Jewish homeland. This interval ends upon the rapture of the modern church, precisely 120 years from these inaugural instructions. Just as in the days of Noah, all life on the planet, to include this time the creatures within the oceans, will be exterminated. God's word will be fulfilled at that time. The ark Noah built provided physical security for him and his family. But they each had to be willing participants to enter the ark. Had they not walked up the gangway, God would not have then somehow magically placed them inside. It will be the same way with the Hebrew people of this age and the future ark that will be Petra. They will have to make personal effort to travel from wherever they are to somehow reach the lost city. Today, Petra is the remnants of a long-dead settlement. It is now an archaeological site located within borders of Jordan. Its location was once a thriving capital, carved into beautiful rose-colored rock with exquisite detail, surrounded by large mountains and red-colored canyons. Scenes from Petra have appeared in many popular culture films, such as Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, The Mummy Returns, and Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen, to name but a few. While it has become a popular tourist site, the vast majority of the city lies unexplored, as it is located almost exclusively underground. It is theorized that most of the city lies inside a vast collection of natural caves, the size and scope of which is huge. Theologians have speculated that this labyrinth of caverns could easily house over 3 million people. The caves provide natural air conditioning in the summer and heat in the winter, keeping the temperature inside a comfortable 68 degrees year-round. Petra will provide physical security for the Hebrew people during the last half of the tribulation. The Bible does tell us that the Hebrews will be nourished while they are there, but nothing specific is told as to how God will accomplish this. But, as in the case of Noah's Ark, there will certainly be unseen miracles happening all around. There are 5 mentions of Petra in Scripture, with 3 found in the Old Testament and 2 in the New. The first one can be found in 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 7. It reads, "He," speaking of King Amaziah, one of the kings of Judah, "killed 10,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt and took Selah," Petra, "in battle and called its name Yoktha'el," which it is to this very day. The Edomites were a tribe which originated from Esau, the elder twin to Jacob. If you recall, Isaac was the miracle offspring of Abraham and Sarah. In turn, Isaac's wife Rebekah gave birth to twins, Esau and Jacob. Esau was born a few minutes prior to Jacob and was thus the legitimate heir. But Jacob, his mom's favorite son, stole the birthright from Esau. He did it with help from his mother by posing as his brother and fooling Isaac, his elderly and failing father, who was on death's doorstep into giving him his blessing. What 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 7 shows us is that Petra was forcibly taken from the Edomites, just as was their birthright. Then King Amaziah changed its name to Yoktheel, in the same way Jacob had his name changed to Israel. The word in thought 3, Yoktheel, means the Lord subdues, and God is the one who is able. All victory belongs to God Almighty and is not a product of human might. Petra means rock and is indicative of God's strength. It is a symbol which brings veneration to our Heavenly Father. Veneration means a feeling or act of great respect, admiration, or devotion. Back in the day of Noah, Satan attempted to seal humanity's fate by stealing all the women, thus trying to prevent the birth of a genetically pure Savior. God saved his remnant by placing them on an ark away from the reach of the evil one. This is the same purpose for the lost city of Petra. The reason for even needing to provide a place like Petra is because the Antichrist is going to attempt to repeat his crime of theft, this time by attempting to steal another's identity, that being from Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. In the coming years, Satan will once more attempt to thwart the cause of Christ, this time by attempting to steal both his identity and the worship due him. This is yet another attempt at derailing man's salvation. The Bible says he will start with the Hebrew people and then quickly move on to those other children of God, those followers of Christ who were left behind after the rapture. God, by providing Petra, a synonym for Noah's Ark, as a future place of security for the Jews, is doing just that for his chosen people, who first birthed and then rejected his son. Noah built an ark. King Amaziah secured another future ark. It's important to note that both arks were obtained via the hands of God's men, acting in the role of God's agent. So we see in thought 5 that God secured Petra as a future place of refuge. The term "to this day" is a big clue to understanding that its status as such remains unchanged, even up to the present time. But how then do we know that he will be sending his people there? Great question. We find the answer in Isaiah chapter 16 and verse 1. Open up your Bible and follow along with me as I read from out of the Hebrew. Send the tribute lands of the ruler of the land to Selah, that's Petra, in the uninhabited wilderness located in the mountains from the daughter Zion. This verse is a prophecy. In thought 1, the words tribute lambs appears as just one word in the Hebrew, and it is kar. This is the only time this word appears in Scripture, and it means something which indicates the worth, virtue, or effectiveness of the one in question. In this case, the one in question is Yahweh. The verse is talking about God's chosen people, the Hebrews. Despite Satan's many attempts throughout history at snuffing them out, the Bible says his people will instead persevere forever. Thought 2 informs us that these lambs belong to the ruler of the land, which we know is God Almighty. Thought 3 uses the original name of Petra, that being Selah. The Hebrews will be sent to Selah, where the locale is described in thought 4 as an uninhabited wilderness. And make no mistake about it, Petra in Jordan is essentially an uninhabited desert. Other than those folks who provide support to visiting tourists, no one really lives there. If tourism were to suddenly fade away, so would all the support people. Other than a few very small villages and a visitor center, it's truly an uninhabited wasteland, and has been so for over two millennia. And Thought 5 tells us it is located within the rugged mountains of Jordan. To access the city requires about a 2.7-mile walk from the visitor center, terminating through a mile-long, twisty, and very narrow canyon, having what feels like at least 100 turns. Look now at Thought 6. It uses the phrase, from the daughter Zion. The term daughter Zion is a poetic biblical phrase which personifies the city of Jerusalem and by extension, its inhabitants, the people of Israel. As you will soon learn, this verse is a prophecy of what's going to happen in the rapidly approaching years. After climbing into the ark, we studied last time in Genesis chapter 7, verse 4, that Noah and his family spent 7 days aboard. The rain did not begin until after the passage of these 7 days. The Bible doesn't give us any details as to why he loaded them up a week early, only that he did. I refer to this week as literally the proverbial time before the storm. If you recall from the last audio sermon, it was God himself who closed the door on the ark. As I've said many times, there are no idle words in Scripture. God doesn't add words into his manuscript without good reason. So, we must look elsewhere to determine what this week represents. When we look at the midpoint of the tribulation, we discover our answer. God didn't just close the door on the ark. No, he closed the door on evil. After the flood, Satan and his demonic followers were prohibited from inhabiting the physical realm anywhere on or near the earth. They were locked out and were limited to the spiritual realm only, which they still currently are. When we study the details of the coming tribulation, we read in the 11th chapter of Revelation where the Antichrist is permitted to kill the two witnesses God will put on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. If you recall, their job will be to protect the Hebrew temple from anyone who might seek to enter it or harm it in any way. That's Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 through 7. When their testimony is finished, God will then open the door once more and allow evil to inhabit the physical spaces around the earth. We see this in verse 7 where it says, "The beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them and kill them." With their death, it begins a period of what I refer to as Unholy Week. It will be an 8-day period which will mirror the last 8 days of the life of Jesus. The difference is that while Jesus worked for good, the Antichrist will only work for evil. Upon their deaths, this will allow the Antichrist to gain access to the Temple Mount and the temple itself. This will allow the forces of evil to begin their reign of pure terror on the earth, the last half of what the Bible describes as the Great Tribulation. Now, I am quickly summarizing these events because our focus today is on the significance of the timing surrounding Noah's Ark and how it compares to the modern Ark of Petra. Don't be concerned, as all of these prophetic events will be covered in depth in future sermons. So, following the death of God's two witnesses, the Antichrist will place a large idol in the Holy of Holies. The Bible describes this event as the abomination of desolation. This is the signal for the Hebrews to begin their flight to Petra. At the end of the 7 days following the Lord opening the door, allowing evil beings to once again inhabit the physical realm, the Antichrist will enter the Holy of Holies in the Hebrew temple and declare himself to be God. This begins what the Bible describes as a war in heaven. It will last for 40 days and result in the defeat of Satan and his followers, upon which time Satan will be cast out of heaven and down to the earth. This is the moment when God unleashed the rain upon the earth in Noah's time. The 7 days Noah spent inside the ark were followed by 40 days and 40 nights of what must have been the most intense rain imaginable. The reason for God's mention of both days and nights is so that folks understood they were literal 24-hour periods. The rain lasted 40 full days, just as the war in heaven will also last 40 full days. And the Hebrew people, who are aware of the biblical significance of these events, will begin making a mad dash for Petra. So it will be for the true disciples of Christ, who will clearly understand the significance of where they are on God's prophetic timeline. The killing of the two witnesses and the placement of an idol in the Holy of Holies are intended to be huge wake-up calls to both Christians and Jews alike. For the Jews, they know a new Holocaust is fast coming their way. And for the Christians, they will understand that the arrival of the bridegroom is at long last right at the door. Jesus spoke of this event in the chapter we've been focused on for the last dozen sermons. Open your Bible now to Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 and 16. They read, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains." Jesus is more or less making a direct quote from the prophet Daniel. Everything about the time period of the tribulation is mentioned in a single verse. Flip over now to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. It says, "And he," the Antichrist, "will make a firm covenant with the many," the nation of Israel, "for 1 week," 7-year peace treaty. "But in the middle of the week," the midpoint of the tribulation, "he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering by killing the two witnesses. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate," Satan getting tossed out of heaven down to the earth, "even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate," the second coming of Christ. And Daniel wrote that 600 years prior to the birth of Jesus. As we've discussed, Noah likely spent the 3.5 years prior to God closing the door on loading up the ark as God brought the animals to him. The Hebrews beginning to move to Petra will possibly begin once the Antichrist is revealed with the signing of the peace treaty, also a period of 3.5 years before God this time opens the door to evil. They will then be forced to get serious about leaving Petra for when the abomination of desolation is revealed. This is because all hell will literally break loose once Satan gets tossed out of heaven. Jesus will likewise remove his church at the end of the 40-day war in heaven when Satan gets evicted. I like to tell people that we will literally pass him on our way up when he's on his way down. Theologically, there is no way God will allow his people to be exposed to the physical wrath of Satan once the door to evil is opened back up. In the same way, it makes no sense for us to see the devil up in heaven after God brings us up there. The point to this sermon is that God always protects his people. Noah and his family boarded an ark, which physically protected them from those who were targeted by Yahweh for destruction. In the same way, Petra will protect those Hebrews from the wrath of Satan following his removal from heaven. From that point onwards, Satan knows his days are numbered and few, and he will strike out with unimaginable wrath on those who refuse to worship him. Try as the Bible states that he will, Satan will be unable to pierce the protective shield that God will place around Petra. But woe to the folks located on the outside of the ark. They will be destroyed, just as those who fail to gain entry into Noah's ark. Everyone outside the ark will perish. Those refusing the mark will die at the hands of the forces of evil. Everyone bearing it who's left at the end will be killed by Jesus at his second coming. Hey, our time is up for today, but just know that we will be speaking all this and much more in the coming audio sermons. So until next time, my beloved, this has been Pastor Jefferson, speaking in God's holy name and for His glory alone. Amen.